And we're hoping that Ayin Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday a long brisa that dealt with various cases where the workers backed out of doing the job versus the, well, so we had a number of different cases where the work didn't get done. We had cases where one or the other, the workers or the employer, backed out of it. We said, so we, in the Mishnah, when we said first we discussed that that may mean not that anybody backed out of it, but rather that they misled each other about that the Balabas sent one of the workers to hire the other ones, and he misled them about how much the Balabas is willing to pay. Then we said, though, that based on this braisa, hitu zeze can also mean exactly that they misled one another, as in they said, we'll do the work, and then they didn't show up for it, or vice versa. So we distinguished, the braisa distinguished whether the workers went to do the job and found that it wasn't doable for one reason or another, or whether they didn't do it at all. And we talked about what happens when they quit the job. Then we have to figure out how much do we pay them to have it when we said when they're not schira yom, when they're being hired by the job, a kablon, where they're being paid for the entire job. If they do only part of the job, how much are they entitled to? So we had a bunch of dinim in the braisa about that. So now the Gemara says Toni Tana kamei de Rav. A Tana taught this braisa in front of Rav. And you had the case over there where they went and they couldn't find the thing wasn't available for them to do the work. So the braisa had given an example that you hired donkey drivers to transport grain from one place to another, and they go to the place where it's supposed to be and it's not there. Or you hire workers to work in a field, and it turns out the field is wet, and therefore they can't do the work over there. So a Tana, when a Tana taught in front of Rab, a Brisa that says Noisim Lehem Sfarim Misholim, then in that case we have to pay them the full amount that they were supposed to be paid. Omalei, so Rab says, how is it possible? How could a Brisa say that? Habibi, my uncle Omar, which is Reb Chiya, would say, Ilu Ano Havoi, if I were there, if I were the boss of such workers, Loi Havi Yehina Lohen El Kapoyo Bottle, the maximum I would pay them is Kapoyo Bottle, which we've learned a few times in our Masechta, meaning, in other words, after all, they didn't do the work, so they shouldn't be compensated for work they didn't actually do. You would pay them like what you would pay somebody you would say, how much would you be willing to take a pay cut to get a break today and not have to do work? So in that case, that's all they should have to be paid. The hat amet noislam scharim mishalim, and you're saying in your brisa that he would pay them the full amount. Now, of course, I mean, the brisa could argue on Reb Chiya, but apparently Rav is assuming that if Reb Chiya is saying it so definitively, then it means it would necessarily be that way, and there's no room for any other opinion. There's also actually the Rishami brings in this connection that there was an actual story involving Reb Chiya like that, which will explain why he uses the expression Ilu Ano Havoi, if I was in such a situation. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, what do you mean? B'ha Allah Katani, the Braisa doesn't say that he pays them the whole amount. It says Eina Doma Habaton La Boreikon Oisim Alacha LeYoshua Batal. The Braisa itself clearly makes that distinction. It says, when it says Noisim Lahem Scharim Misholim, after all, though, it doesn't mean that you pay them the full amount that you had contracted for. It means you pay them. You can't compare how much a person is paid for carrying a full burden to coming empty-handed. So they still have some, they have to be paid for something, for their time and for the fact that they took their junkies there and whatever, but after all, they're not being paid the full amount. Or we said, Oysa Malacha LeYoshua Batal, you can't compare when they actually did the work in the field to when they're sitting around, so you're paying them something but not the full amount. Well, that's exactly what the Braisa is saying, so what's Rab's problem? And the answer is, Loisai Mur Kameh. One possibility is when Tana taught the Braisa in front of Rav, he didn't finish the Braisa. So had he gotten to that part of the Braisa, then yes, Rav would have had no objection. Ikadami Sai Mur Kameh. Others say that the Tana did finish the Braisa in front of Rav. Vahok Kama, rather the argument was different. He said, Chavivi Oma, my uncle said, if I was in that situation, I would say you don't have to pay them at all. the after Amit Kapoor bottle, and you're saying they're being paid Kapoor bottle. So in the first version, the objection was that Rav Chiya would say, I would pay them only Kapoor bottle, where the Braisa says you're paying them in full. In the second version, Rav Chiya is saying, I wouldn't have paid them at all, whereas the Braisa says you pay them Kapoor bottle. Well, the Gemara says, Ela Kashahach. Well, the fact is, you do have a question on Rav Chiya from this Braisa. The Braisa does say you pay them Kapoor bottle. So, and the answer is, Lo Kasha. It depends. Did the employer take the workers there the evening before, or did he tell them themselves where to go? And they went there themselves to see whether the field is workable. So if they went, for example, if they went the night before and they didn't notice that the field is wet, then that's their problem. Why do you not notice such a thing? So they should have paid attention, realized that the field is wet, and told the owner, you know what, in that case, we're not going to be able to do this work tomorrow because the field is not suitable for it. Or the same thing with the grain, let's say. They would go there the night before and find out, in fact, there's no grain over there. So then in that case, then they themselves saw it, and they didn't do the work. And that they shouldn't have bothered going there in the morning, knowing already from the night before that it's not possible for them to do it. As opposed to when they didn't check it the night before, then you could say when the boss didn't tell them the night before where to go to check it out, then they come there in the morning and unexpectedly, as far as they know, it's wet and they can't do the work, then he should pay them something. So when would Rav Chiya say that I don't pay them at all? When they knew what was going on, they still went there anyway. When would the Braisa say that you pay him Kapoor bottle? Is when they hadn't had a chance to check out the situation beforehand, and therefore you have to pay them. Goes and points out that the Rambam actually learns differently and says that the side of the ara doesn't mean, as Rashi is saying, the worker is going and checking it out. It means that the boss himself, the employer himself, goes and checks it out. If he himself checks it out the previous evening and finds it's fine, yes, it looks like the work should be done tomorrow. If then the next morning when the workers come, they don't find that it's not available between now and then, it rained, let's say, and now the field is all wet, there's not much he could have done. He did everything he could to make sure that the job should be available for the workers to do, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay them. As opposed to, if he didn't go and check it, then that's his problem. Why didn't you go and check and make sure that it's ready for them to start? So according to the Rambam, the Sairam Ara, the Sairam Uta, Sairam Uta is referring to the owner about when he'd be Chayav or Potter. As a pretty sure it explains that, in other words, if he didn't bother checking, it means that in effect he's saying, I would have hired these guys no matter what. So now when it comes and it turns out they can't do the work, then he has to pay them at least Kapoor bottle. And the Gemara says, Ki hada amar Rava, as we have an example where Rava said a similar din. Haiman de ogur agiri le Rivka, when a person hired workers for Rivka. So on the side over here, Agos Vitzionim brings that Rivka means to hoe or to dig in the field. On the other hand, Agos Agra brings on that the Rambam learns it means to water the field. Anyway, he hired workers for that, but also Mitra, and then it ended up raining Umalya Maya, and now the field is full of water. So if we say that Rivka means digging, now they can't do that digging anymore when the field is full of water. If you say, like the Rambam, that Rivka means water in the field, then there's no need to water it because now it's been watered by the rain. Anyway, so Rava says a similar distinction as far as we said before. If the workers had checked there the night before, or according to the Rambam, if the owner had checked the night before, say that the poilim, then the loss is on the workers because now the workers are not going to get paid because he can tell them, Rashi says, following Rashi, that we're talking about the workers going and checking it out, then he would say, it's your mazel that caused it. I was all ready for you to do the work, and you even checked it the night before and found that it was all fine, but now it's your mazel that it rained, and therefore that's not possible to work, and therefore I shouldn't owe you anything. But if the workers didn't look at it the night before, say to the Balabais, then if the Balabais is lost because they can tell him. Rashi says, who says you would have been willing to hire us having to work on that field where they can say, in other words, yes, now it rained unexpectedly, but who says to begin with that you would have had us be working on that field, and therefore and therefore say the Balabais, so in other words, Rashi explains the difference is they don't know, they can't be familiar, different fields. Sometimes you might have even a field that it rains on, but the water gets absorbed into the ground quickly, and therefore they can still work it. So they can't know that kind of thing. The Balabais has to know. So if they didn't check it the evening before, say to the Balabais, then the loss is on the Balabais, the Yovahukapoyo bottle, and he pays them like an unemployed worker. So we see, in other words, the point is that Rava is saying there is a distinction between whether they looked at it the night before or not. Similarly, V'omar Rava, and Rava says a similar din, Haiman de Ogra Guri Ladavla, a person hired workers to water his field, V'osam Mitra, and rain falls, so now we don't need the watering anymore because now the rain did it for him. Say that the poilim, so now that's the loss is on the workers, and they don't, and he doesn't have to pay them at all. Now Tosfos brings that there are different gusoris over here. First of all, Tosfos distinguishes based on there's a different Gemara that implies that actually there are that maybe he would have to pay them something. And Tosfos draws a distinction between an oris, where an oris is getting a percentage of the crops in the field. Versus over here, we're talking about workers. They're not getting a percentage at all. They're just getting paid. Where there, we can say there's a difference. Where now that it rained, then he doesn't need their work at all. Then he doesn't pay them at all. Now, as far as that it rained, Tosfos brings different gersois over here, whether it says that it rained Belilia the night before. The Gemara in front of us doesn't have anything about Belilia. It just has that it rained, but there is a gersa that talks about that it rained at night. And Tosfos says, so are we talking about then that they, so we have to be talking about that they, he did check it out the night before and everything seemed fine, and then overnight it rained and now we're saying he doesn't need their work anymore. Tosfos also adds that one way you could say is that the workers did check it out the evening before, and we just said before that that if they had looked at it the night before and they saw it wasn't suitable to work, then it's their problem if they show up the next morning. And then another way of looking at it is even if they didn't look at it before, then the loss would be on them. They don't get paid because Tosfos draws a distinction when he hired them for Rivka, which again, according to many Rishonim, means to dig or to plow the field. Then they don't know without actually looking at it. They don't know whether the rain is going to prevent them from doing that. But when he hires them to water the field, it's very obvious if it rains, then they're not going to, they don't need to water the field. So therefore it may not make a difference. Tosfos says in this case between whether they checked it out the night before or not. Anyway, so that's if it rained. On the other hand, says Rav, Osam Nara, but if the river overflowed and you have in the field in various places, you have ditches cut in so that when the river level rises, then the water will go into those ditches and water the field. So if that happened, say to the Balabais, then the loss is on the owner, because then the owner is the one who knows that then his field, is the one that the workers can't know whether this field is the type that whether it's the type that has ditches cut into it and has this kind of arrangement where if the river floods, then you don't need to water the field. So as far as they knew, yes, we know the river level has been rising. That doesn't necessarily mean that your field is positioned to take advantage of it. So they still showed up to work anyway. Therefore, say to the Balabais, and therefore the loss is on the Balabais, the Yovel who could poil bottle. And again, he would have to pay them like a poil bottle. So we mentioned the case where they check it out the evening before. In this case over here, when it rained, then again, Tosfos is saying, are we talking about where they checked it out before or where they did not? And another din, V'omar Rava, then Rava says similarly, another din, Haiman de Ogra Guri Avida, a person hired workers to work for him the entire day. Vesholim Avida, the Palga de Yoima. In the middle of the day, the work is already over. They worked faster than expected, or the job was smaller than he thought, or whatever. And it turns out that, actually, I skipped one over here. Haiman de Omar Rava. Haiman de Ogra Guri Ladavla, a person hired workers to water his field. Or Posik Nara of Palga de Yoima, and the river dried up in the middle of the day. Now here, Tosfos says, why is it saying in the middle of the day? It's because it's a very normal thing, actually. You have a river where everybody's busy drawing water from it to water their fields, so then the water level drops. We should realize that in Gemara terminology, a river doesn't always mean what we think of as a river, where it's got a constant inflow of water. It can be something more like a canal. So if you draw too much water from it, then the water level drops. And that's what we mean over here, that so many people were drawing from it that now the water level drops. So now in the middle of the day, the water is gone. So Rava says it depends. Eli of a deposit, if it's not normal for this particular canal or river or whatever to dry up, say to the poilim, then the loss is on the workers, then he only has to pay them as much as they accomplished so far. Because then what is he, the balabas, supposed to do? He didn't know this was going to happen either. It's an onus on him. Ovid deposit, but if it's regular that the river does this, then it depends. Ibn Masa, if the workers are from the same town and they know, they're familiar with the habits of this river, say to the poilim, then the loss is on them because they should have realized there is the chance that that might happen. That they may not be able to finish the day's work. Lav b'nei Moshe, if they're not from the same city, say to the balabais, then the loss is on the balabais, and he still has to pay them kapoyo bottle. Because again, they couldn't have known, as far as they knew, they're being hired out for an entire day, and the balabas himself, knowing that this is something that happens sometimes with this river or this canal, he should have informed them. So the Rashba summarizes, the bottom line is that when both of them are able to know, or neither one is able to know, then we say that the loss is on the poilim, and he doesn't need to pay them. The only case where he needs to pay them, kapoyo bottle, is where the workers had no way of knowing, and the balabas should have known better, and he should have told them. Tosfos earlier also talks about that, now, in the earlier cases that Rava mentioned, he didn't distinguish whether this regularly happens or not. Only here, with the river drying up, does the Gemara mention this distinction about does this regularly happen or not. So the Tosfos printed on the previous daf that talks about that the reason why the or not of actually the Tosfos is in connection with something later on. Never mind that. Tosfos is saying over here that the reason the Gemara doesn't distinguish this earlier is because in the earlier case involving where the river flooded, it's obvious there are ditches cut into the field, very obviously for the purpose of watering it. So it doesn't matter whether it regularly happens or not. Whenever it happens, the ditches are positioned to take advantage of it. As far as them being from the same city or not, they don't know, they're not familiar enough, even if they live in that city, they're not necessarily familiar with this particular field, as opposed to when the river dries up, everybody in town knows about it. There are, by the way, interesting dinim that come out of this. First of all, there are poskim who learn that there would also be a distinction whether he actually paid them in advance, then would they have to refund him the money, or would they be able to keep at least some of it? There is the distinction of that, because once he paid them in advance, then maybe we would say Yad Poilalo Yona, and we would say therefore they have the upper hand, and they can say we should at least be paid for something. There are actually interesting discussions about this bechlal when you hire somebody to do a job and then it turns out for completely unavoidable circumstances they couldn't do it. An example of it was during COVID. You had a number of things like that where people that were supposed to be doing work and they couldn't. How much do you have to pay them for the fact the work's not being done? On the other hand, the fact is they were ready to do it, and it's only circumstances beyond everybody's control that prevented it. So there's some discussion about what happens in such cases in terms of paying them. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'omar Rava," and Rava says another din. Haiman de ogra guri la avita, a person hired workers to do work for him. V'sholem avita v'palga de yayma, and the work finished in the middle of the day. So we're not talking about like the previous case where the work still needs to be done, but it can't because the river dried up. Here we're talking about the work went faster than expected, and therefore it's the middle of the day and they're already finished. So he is now he had hired them for the day. So e isfe avita de nichamina, if he has an easier job for them to do, yohilahu, then he can give it to them, and they can't say, "Well, you only hired us for the one type of job," because he had hired them in general for the day. So he'll tell them, "I'm paying you for the day anyhow. So you do this other work for me." Inami to kavasal, or even if the other work that he has is equal to the work that he had before, maskevlahu, then he can put them in charge of doing that other work. But if he has only harder work available, then he can't give it to them without their permission. And then he would have to pay them in full because he hired them for a job and they finished the job. So therefore, even though they finished it in a faster time than expected, nevertheless, he would still have to pay them the full amount. A couple of Rishonim point out actually that there may be a distinction over here whether he hired he hired them for a particular job. What if he just hired them in general, do whatever work that I have available today? Then we could say that maybe in fact he is entitled to give them even a harder job because after all he told them in general that whatever work I have you're going to do. So then he'd be entitled to give them even harder jobs to finish out the day. Okay, question is, Amai, why should he have to pay them the whole amount? They only worked for half a day. Why isn't he paying them like a poil bottle? Why don't we say, in other words, for the first half of the day, sure, he's paying them per hour, but the second half of the day, they're sitting around not doing anything because he doesn't have any other work of that type for them to do. Why should he have to pay them per hour for the rest of the day? And the answer is, because Rava is talking about, for example, specifically the porters of Mechuzah. These are people whose job is to carry around heavy loads, and they're so used to doing the work. If they don't do the work one day, then they feel weak. So for them to sit around and not do anything is bad for them, actually. So therefore, so we should say that... But because the work went faster than expected, and now it's already done, then therefore, if they sit around, then it actually makes them weaker, and therefore, he should have to pay them for their time. But you're right. In a regular case, the Gemara is saying, then you wouldn't have to do that, because fine, you pay them kapoyo bottle. The post can mention in this connection, halachas involving, for example, when you arrange to teach somebody Torah, And you're a malamed, for example, you make an arrangement with a malamed, for example, and he's not able to, let's say, for example, the Rosh brings from Rabbeinu Yoel that says, for example, you hired a malamed and now the malamed can't teach because the kid is sick. So it'll depend whether the kid is often sickly or not, but when there are the cases that you would have to pay him, then you would have to pay him in full, because again, he says the people who learn Torah, batola godim lahem shikha, were taking time off, not being able to learn Torah causes them to forget and makes them feel physically weak. So a number of other Rishonim say similar ideas. In other words, that when you're talking about learning Torah would be a real life example of this achlushi demachuzah, where if they don't have the chance to do it, then you're gonna have to pay them in full, because then you're causing them a loss. They're losing the Torah they learned already. They may even lose what they learned before because they're not reviewing it. Okay. Alright, so that's far that. So we've covered the dinim then from the braisa of what happens when the workers didn't end up doing the work because the work was unavailable. So we drew the various distinctions between basically whether it's something they could have known is likely to happen or not, and the various dinim when he doesn't have to pay them at all, when he has to pay them only kapoyo bottle, and when he has to pay them in full. Now, continuing in the braisa, we said Omamar, so we said in the Braisa on Ayin Vavam Beis, Shaman, we had a case involving a Kablon. We said where you hired workers, you hired them by the job. Till now we were talking about you hired them by the hour or by the day or whatever. Now we're talking about you hired them by the job. And we said that if they quit in the middle of the job, so we had the, so we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Reb Dosa. First we had the Chachamim, first we had the Tanakama saying that what you do is that the Braisa had said, Omamah, Shaman Lahem is Masha Asu. We figure out what they had done so far. Kate said, Hoyu Yofa Shishu Dinrim. So we said, suppose that to do the remainder of the work is going to cost 6 dinar. So the scenario we said is the whole job is going to cost two sela, which is 8 dinarim. They did half the job, which is 4 dinarim so far. But now, in order to find other workers to finish the job, the guy is going to have to pay them 6 dinar. So it's going to come out that he was expecting to pay 8 dinar, and instead he's having to pay 10. So the Bryce had said, doesn't matter. He still has to pay them the sela for the half the job they did so far. Meaning, the Gemara says, Kasavir Abonin, Yad Poyim Alo Yoyna. Evidently, the Chachamim hold the worker has the upper hand. The worker does not lose out from the fact that he quit, and now the owner has to hire other workers for a higher price. We're talking about when it's not Davar HaOvad, as we said in the Mishnah, and as we're going to say later on in the Gemara, when it's Davar HaOvad is different, but here we're talking about it's not Davar HaOvad. Tosfos says actually it doesn't really mean Yad Poel Alo Yoyna. It just means it's not Alatachtona. Reb Dosa is going to say Yad Poel Alatachtona, meaning we don't necessarily have to pay them the full amount that they accrued so far, because we have to deduct what the extra amount that he's going to have to pay new workers. The Chachamim are disagreeing with that. So that when they say Yad Poel Alo Yoyna, they don't mean really Alo Yoyna, they just mean it's not Alatachtona. It's not that they don't have the lower. So we said, O Yigmur Malachdon, or we said the other possibility is they finish their work, V'yitlu Shnei Sloim, and then they'll collect their full 2 sela. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, if they finish the job, they get the 2 sela. The answer is, Leitzricha De'iyakir Avidda. The Chiddush is that we're talking about that afterwards, after they started the job, then the price, the amount that people usually pay workers for this kind of work went up. The Imru Poilin. So now the workers were Imru. Rashi says that they remove themselves, they quit. And Rashi brings from a pasuk in Iyov, where we see where the same shodash, memresh aleph, means to remove yourself and then distance yourself from something. So here it would mean that they distance themselves from and they quit the job. The Me'iri brings another possibility. It means, he relates it to the word yis'amru, like we have in today's Shir Shoyim, yis'amru kopayol oven, which means that they feel proud. Like, why should we have to do this work for you unless Either way, the point is, in other words, they're quitting. But also, Balabais, who paisinu, the Balabais went and talked them into resuming the job. So Maudetema, you would think, now that the Chacham say Yad Poel Alo Yoyna, Motsu Amrule, can't they say to him, Kimafai Sinan Adaitid Zofaslam Aagra, when we're agreeing to come back and work for you, is because we figured you're gonna add to our wages, because now in general, any other time you wanted to hire somebody, it would cost you more. So to use the example from before, let's say, for example, when he first hired them, this kind of job would be 2 sloyim, which is 8 dinar. They did half the job. We're saying now they quit in the middle. Now, the Balabais is trying to get them back, but by the time that happens, the price of this kind of work has gone up. If he were to now hire new workers to do the work from scratch, it would cost him 3 sela, which is 12 dinarim. So now, maybe can they say, well, when we agreed to come work for you, is you're going to pay us at the new higher rate that everybody else is being paid, and therefore at least we should get 6 dinarim for the rest of the work, or maybe even we should get 12 dinarim for the entire job. So the answer is, Kamash Malan, that no, we're saying nevertheless, they're still only entitled to the 2 sela, the 8 dinarim, the Amalahu, because the Balabas can tell them, Adai to the Tarach Nalachuba, Achiloshia, when I talked you into coming back, I wasn't necessarily committing myself to, I'm going to pay you more. It's, I'll give you more food and drink while you're working, but not necessarily that I'm going to increase your wages. Obviously, if they had made an agreement on that he's going to increase their wages, then there's nothing to talk about, but we're talking about where they did. The Ramban actually brings on that based on a Tesefta in Kiddushin, that where it seems that there talks about in connection with buying something, and the two of them can't agree on a price. Each one mentions a different price. and they can't agree on it, and it depends. The Gemara brings this braisa someplace that says that depends really which one comes to the other to finish off the transaction. So say, for example, one of them says, I want 100 zuz for it. I want 200 zuz for it. The other one says, I'm willing to pay only 100. Later on, one of them goes to the other and says, you know what, let's do this deal. So it depends which one approached the other one, whether we pay the higher or the lower price. Now over here, we're saying that the employer is telling them he wants them to continue working for him, and we still don't say he's on the hook for the higher price. So the Ramban gives a couple of answers. The difference is that here, when they quit, they didn't say anything about the higher amount. They didn't say we're quitting because everybody else, because we're striking, because now everybody else is being paid more. As opposed to, in the case in that Tosefta, they're negotiating over there, and they're mentioning, I'm not gonna buy it unless you lower the price to such and such, or I'm not selling it unless you pay me X amount. And then, the Ramban gives another answer that since we said in the Mishnah that if the workers quit in the middle, then he is entitled to have tarumas against them. He is entitled to have a complaint against them, which we said means that at least later on they'd have to ask him mechila. So when there's tarumas involved, we can say fine, they're entitled to quit, but because he has tarumas, we don't necessarily assume that they are that's the demanding the higher amount in order to come back and work, as opposed to there when people are negotiating about the buying and selling of something. There's not even tarumas over there because they never made any agreement in the first place. So a couple of possibilities why that particular one that I'm locked, he brings it as halacha, that answer. Anyway, so the point is that's the chiddush of the braisa when it says that they get two sloyim, means even if now this kind of work would cost more. Okay. The braisa said to sell on noisim lahem sella, that if now to hire new workers to finish the job when these guys quit in the middle would be only one sella, then he pays them the sella that they're entitled to so far. So again, the Gemara says pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is lo tzricha dezal avita meikra. Here we're talking about, let's say, where the price of where the wages of workers in this kind of field goes down. Now they're saying that they're only willing to begin with when, we're talking about that when, not the zol that it went down, but rather that to begin with the price, the cost of workers was lower. Say for example, this kind of work, people were usually charging three zuz per day to work. So he told them, they said, we're only willing to be hired only if you pay us an extra zuz. You have to pay us at the rate of 4 zuz a day. Later on, the wages in general go up, become, and everybody is getting that extra zuz now. So he had agreed to pay these guys 4. Now, as the work is going on, the price has gone up, and now you can't hire any workers to do this job anymore for 3. So now everybody is getting 4. Maud tema amulais, you would think they could tell him, tfei zuza amritlon. Look, you told us to begin with, you're paying us an extra zuz above the prevailing wage. Therefore, instead of paying us 1 sella, which is 4 zuzing, you should have to pay us 5, because before the going rate was 3 and you agreed to pay us 4. Now that the going rate is 4, you should have to pay us 5. Kamash Malon, therefore, the braisa is telling us that no, he pays them a sella, which is 4, because he tells them, Da'amalu, ki amilachu tfei zuza, you know when I told you to begin with that I'm going to give you the extra zuz, do I have a kimlachu, because you didn't know that you're going to be able to get a sella without arranging it with me, so therefore I agreed that I'm going to give you a sella. On the other hand, hashla kim lahu, but now you're certain of being able to get a sella, which is what you wanted in the first place, so I shouldn't have to pay you above a sella. In other words, in short, the Balabas is telling them, when I agreed to pay you the extra zuz, doesn't mean that it's always going to be 1 zuz more than everyone gets. It just means that I wanted that you insisted you get at least a sella. Very well, here is a sella. Okay. Thus far, the Chachamim. Then we said in the Braisa, Rav Dosa said that we have to figure out for them, we have to figure out for them how much is yet to be done, meaning unlike the Tanakama, who had said that we figure out how much they did so far, and he always pays them at least that amount. Here, Rav Dosa is saying we have to factor in how much it's going to cost to finish the job. So, if the remainder of the work is going to cost 6 dinar to do, no, I'm shekel, then at this point, he has to pay them only a shekel, because it means that altogether the cost of the work should only be the 8 dinarim that he agreed to in the first place, meaning that the Gemara says, Kasava, Yad Poel, Al Tachtona, Rav Dosa holds that the worker has the lower hand, and he has the disadvantage, and therefore, in other words, according to the Chachamim, we said the workers have the advantage, or at least according to Tosfos, not so much the advantage, but at least they don't have the disadvantage. So they would always have to be paid what they did, and as far as the fact that it's going to cost him more later on to finish the job, that's his problem. According to Rav Dosa, we have to count that against their wages. And the Braisa had said, oh, Yigmaru Malachdon, or they could finish the work for Yitlo Shnei Sloyim, and then they'll get paid the two seller. And the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is, Loit Tzricha de Zolavidda. We're talking about, so here we have kind of the opposite of the cases before involving, according to the Tanakhama. We're talking about over here where the price of workers went down after they began the job, the Emor Balabais, and now the Balabais wants to quit. And he wants to say, you know what, now I could get workers more cheaply elsewhere. Actually, Tosfos, here's where you have the Tosfos earlier that discusses what does the Balabas think he's going to gain from that. Either way, he's going to have to anyway pay them for what they did so far, because when he backs out of the deal, we said in the Mishnah, Kolachosava, Yodalakafona, and why would the workers be willing to come and continue the work for them anyway, for him anyway? They're not losing anything of what they did so far. So Tosfos says you could have that the Balabas didn't try to fire them in the first place because he figures he can get cheaper workers, but just because he didn't like them, they got into a fight. Meanwhile, the workers are thinking to themselves, you know what, still, we'd rather keep this job so we don't have to go look around and find another job. So therefore, we could still be talking about that the Balabas wanted to fire them because he didn't like them, but now he wants to, the Ozil Poylum, the Paisu, the workers went and talked them back into keeping them for the job. So Mao de Tamer, you would think that Rav Dosa is saying that Rav Dosa would say Motzi Omalahu. Maybe the Balabas can tell them I died about Sritulim Me'agra. You know, when I agreed to rehire you is only if you're willing to take a pay cut, and I shouldn't have to pay you the full 2 sloyim. Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us no. The Amulei, they can answer back. I died to Dab Din Locha Vid Shapirta. Fine, we understand you didn't want us. Because like Tosfos said, we had an argument or whatever, and now you're willing to hire us back because we came and asked you nicely, and you're thinking that you're going to get away with paying us less. No, pay us the full amount. We'll make sure to do the job extra good in order that you'll be satisfied with us. So therefore, that's what the Braisa means when it says that they get the full two sloyim. He can't deduct anything from their wages in that case. Okay, we said sella, noisim lahem sella. We said if the remainder of the work is going to cost only a sella to do, if he hires other workers, then he gives them a sella for what they did so far. And again, the Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is, Amar Rav Huna, breder of Nosan, loit sricha da'izilu inu gambe zuze me'ikra. Here we have the opposite of the previous case, where to begin with, they were willing to take 1 zuz less than everybody else. So everybody else is getting 4 zuz per day, which is 4 zuz, which is 1 sella, and they were willing to accept 3 zuz. All of a sudden, Zolavidda, eventually everybody's wages go down. So Maud Tema, you would think Rav Dosa is saying Yad Poel Atzachona, so the Balabas can tell them Botzu Zuza Amrituli, Botzu Zuza Yavin Alachu. Very well, you told me you're willing to work for 1 zuz less than the going rate. So in that case, now also that the going rate has gone down and people are getting only 3 zuz for the same work, so I'll pay you only 2. Kamash Mulan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us no, you still have to go according to the original terms. They can tell them, Kiyamanavach Batsu Zuza, when we told you we're willing to work for 1 zuz less, Deloy Habakimlach is the opposite of the previous case. You didn't know that you're going to be able to find other workers at the rate of 3, because at that point everybody else was charging 4. Hashtag Kimlach, but now it's clear to you that you're able to get 3, that you're able to get workers for 3, so therefore you still have to pay us the 3. You're actually, to use the example of the Braisa, originally everybody else was charging 5, and you figured you're not going to be able to find any workers for 4, which is a seller, and you found us. Now that everybody else is charging is charging a seller, you don't have the right to go below a seller for us. That's not what we agreed to. So those are the chidushim of the Braisa. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Amar Rav, halacha ke Rav Dosa. So the halacha is like Rav Dosa, that yad poel ala tachtona. So for example, that we have the din when it's going to cost more to finish the job if he hires other workers, then he's allowed to deduct that from their pay, and that we have these various dinim about if the price of the work goes up or down respectively in terms of what they have to do with one another, whether he has to pay them the same as everybody else or whether he's entitled to pay them less. Rav Shor actually points out that when you get down to it, the Gemara could have brought more scenarios also. The Gemara could have also brought scenarios involving also where the according to the Chachamim, where the price of workers goes down, or according to Rav Dosa, where the price of workers goes up. And you would have nafkaminas between the Chachamim and Rav Dosa there as well. Anyway, so Rav is saying that halacha is like Rav Dosa. So the Gemara asks, "Mi Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav say that?" But Amar Rav Poyo Yochel Lachzabay Afilu Bachtia Yoim. Rav says that a worker is able to quit even in the middle of the day, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, because the pasuk says Ki li bnei Yisrael avadim. Hashem says the Jewish people are my servants, they're my slaves, and that means no person has the right to enslave himself to somebody else. And if he can't quit, then in effect, he's a slave. So Rav is saying he could quit, implying maybe that he shouldn't be penalized for that. You're going to say maybe Rav Dosa would draw a distinction between whether the person is being hired by the day or the hour or whatever, versus, which is schirus, versus kablonus, where he's being paid by the job. Maybe we'd say that yad poelav tachtona, only when it comes to a kablon, only when it comes to what we were just talking about as far as where he's being paid by the job. Maybe Rav's din is talking primarily about a schir yoim, where we're saying that he can quit in the middle of the day. Maybe Rav Dosa is not saying yad poel al tachtona for that. Because Rashi points out, the logic is, by schirus, you can say avadehem v'lay avadim la'avadim. When it comes to kablonus, a kablon is not really an eved to anybody. He's an eved really to himself. He has a job to finish, and he's going to finish it, and he's going to finish it in his own time. So therefore, maybe Rav's concept wouldn't apply to that, and therefore Rav Dosa, meanwhile, is talking specifically about kablonus. So you would say maybe there's that distinction, but no, me shiny way, does Rav Dosa in fact hold that there is a distinction? Seems like either way, Rav Dosa always says yad poel av tachtona. Well, Tanya, we learn in a brisa, a socher is a poel, a person hires a worker, in the middle of the day, the worker hears that a relative of his passed away, so now he has to leave work urgently, or the worker came down with a fever, or it could also include, Shulchan Aruch mentions based on Trumas Adeshin, the same thing if his wife or child becomes sick or whatever, the point is, so then he has to leave work urgently. So it depends. Im Sokhiru, if the worker is hired by the day or by the hour or whatever, the owner, the balabas, still has to give him his pay for so far. It's an onus. So therefore, you can't penalize him and tell him, you're down off the phone. So he's entitled to whatever amount of work he did so far. The imkablon, who knows something like kablon or so, and if he's a kablon, if he's being paid by the job, then you pay him the amount of how much of the kablon has he accomplished so far. Now, we have to ask money. We have to ask, this braisa doesn't have an author on it, but who is it like? Ilema Rabbonon, if you're going to say that it's like the Rabbonon, my Ilya, Shama Shemes Lemes, Shachzat Okama. Why would the braisa have to bother mentioning cases where his relative passed away, or he became sick? The onus, where then he's under an onus, and you'd say that then you pay him according to the Chacham. Kilo onus nami ha'am rabban and yad poel alo yona. Even if there's no onus, didn't the Chacham say yad poel alo yona? He always has the upper hand, and he's entitled to his wages so far. So then it wouldn't matter whether there was an onus or not. El alav Rav Dosa. Evidently, this braisa has to be according to Rav Dosa, who says yad poel alo yona. So when there's an onus, then we would say that we don't say yad poel alo yona. Because then there was an onus. But otherwise, if he quit voluntarily, then Rav Dosa would not say that. So we see from that, Shema Minolo Shaini Leila Rav Dosa Ben Stulus the Kablonus. So we see Rav Dosa does not make such a distinction. Well, that being the case then, so how can Rav say the halacha is like Rav Dosa, that if the worker walks off the job, then he gets then he loses out because of that? Versus Rav is saying that he's able to do that, Yochel Lachzavoy, because you leave an Yisrael Avodim, implying that he shouldn't get penalized. So the answer is, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Dover HaOvid, the Divrei Hakol. You could answer that the Braisa is talking about where the worker, the Dover HaOvid, and it would go according to everybody. As we said in the Mishnah, you can have a case where you hired a worker for a time-sensitive thing, and even Rav Dosa is going to agree that you can't quit in that case. Fine, to leave an Yisrael Avodim. But on the other hand, don't exercise your rights as a non-evid until the work is finished, because this is time sensitive. It's a dover ha'ovid. The balabas is going to actually lose out if this isn't done right now, as the examples we have in the Mishnah involving bringing flutes or wood or whatever for a chasana or a levaya, where it's time sensitive, or he has to have his flax taken out of the soaking pit before it spoils. So the divrei hakol, then the braisa would be according to everybody. Even Rav Dosa would agree that the only valid reason for him to quit in that case would be to walk off the job. In that case, would be if there was an oinus. So yes, you could say that Rav is saying poyo yocholachse boy, and ordinarily and there wouldn't be a penalty on him. But if it was a dover ha'ovod, then we would penalize him unless he walked off because of an oinus, where then we wouldn't penalize him. Okay. So the Gemara says, though tnan, still though, let's see. We said in our Mishnah, kolam shana yodel. We said whoever changes from what he was supposed to do, yodel atachtona, which we'll see in a second what that means, yodel atachtona, and anybody who backs out of the deal is also yodel atachtona. So, bishlema kolamashana yodel atachtona, the part about kolamashana, we understand what that's doing in the Mishnah. It means a sosa montana, Rabbi Yehuda, means a tana wants to tell us a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. We had in Baba Kama the case over there where a person gave wool to a dyer to dye it for him one color, and instead the dyer dyed it a different color. So the mayor had said that he's koine it by Zela, essentially, and therefore he just has to repay him the value of the wool. Rabbi Yehuda had said that he pays him, the owner of the wool pays him the shvach or the hitzah, whichever is less, the amount that the wool was improved in value by the dyeing, or the amount that the dyer spent on his expenses, on wood and whatnot, on wood for his fire and whatever else to do the dyeing, and he's paying the lesser of either one. So now, when the Mishnah is saying, kolam shana, yodel akatona, so the Mishnah is telling us a stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, implying that the halacha is like it. But what would the line in the Mishnah, kolachozebo yodel akatona, what would that be adding? Lav lasuya koil, wouldn't it be coming to include the case where a worker quits the job, and yoda lakatona, or kirabdosa, which would be according to Rabdosa. So therefore, we would see that Rabdosa is saying you don't have a difference. Again, we're saying that you don't have a difference between whether he's hired by the day or the hour or a kablon. Either way, we're saying yoda lakatona. So how can Rav say that poyo yocholachseboy, and still say the halacha is like Rav Dosa? So the answer is a lot of Dosa tauti farmer. The fact is, the answer is Rav Dosa is actually talking about both cases, whether a schir yom or whether a kabon. But Rav, sovelet chavasei b'chodeh or polagalei b'chodeh. The answer is that Rav is agreeing with Rav Dosa in one thing and disagreeing with him in another. When it comes to a kablon, Rav agrees that yodeh l'katona, because we can say there we can't apply what Rav had said, because a kablon is not your evid in the first place. He's working on his own behalf to get his pay for the job. And after all, you're not supervising what hours he's doing it, as long as the job gets done. Versus Rav Dosa. So in that, Rav is saying that the kablon yodel akhtone, he agrees with Rav Dosa in that. On the other hand, Rav Dosa says the halacha, the same halacha, also applies to a schir yom, and in that Rav disagrees with him and says that no, in that case, then we can't penalize him because he has the right to walk off the job because kibli b'nei yisrael. So the Gemara says that's one possibility. Iboisemer, or another possibility, is that the word, so we're assuming until now that kolachozeba yada lakatona of the Mishnah refers to this case where a worker quits the job. We don't necessarily, and therefore that was the problem with that, is that implies that applies to both a schir yom or a kablon, and the question is, what would Rav Dosa hold? Another answer, we could say that the Mishnah, when it says Kolachoseva Yadalatona, is not talking about this case of workers at all, but rather Kolachoseva Yadalatona Luchidatanya. It comes to teach us something that it says in a Braisa, not as far as employers and employees, but as far as a different case. As it says in a Braisa, Kolachoseva Ketzad, what does it mean somebody changes his mind? A person sold a field to somebody else for 1,000 zuz. The buyer didn't give him zuz. The buyer hadn't given him the full amount. He gave him only 200 zuz out of 1,000. If now the seller wants to back out of the deal and get his field back, Yad lekeach halal yona, then the buyer has the upper hand as far as what we're going to do. Rotza omele tenli ma'osai. If he wants, he can tell the seller, give me back my money. Let me have my whole 200 back. And that's that. Or tenli karka keneged ma'osai. Or he can tell him, you know what, I did pay you 200. So therefore, you have to give me an amount of the field equal to the amount I paid. Meaning, in other words, I paid you 200 out of 1,000. So therefore, you're going to have to give me 1/5 of the field. What part would he have to give him from? If he's going to do that, minha idis, he would have to give him from idis, which the Gemara is soon going to ask why he would have to give him from idis. A number of Rishonim point out that when he's saying, tenli ma'osai, give me back my money, and the other guy is saying, you know what, I don't have 200 available to give you right now, so instead, let me offer you part of the field. So then, that's when we're saying he'd have to give him from idis. If the lekeach, to begin with, says, tenli karka, keneged ma'osai, then he wouldn't actually have to give him from idis. Then we actually have another Gemara elsewhere in Bava Basra that says that he would be able to give him from ziburis. And in fact, Rashi, they point out that Rashi seems to imply as much, because Rashi, when he says the expression, Mehechon, Magbehu, Rashi says, Magbele Choyvoy, where is he giving him his Choyv, implying that he has a Choyv of 200 to pay him, and instead he's paying him with land. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to hold differently and say that the din that he'd have to give him from Idis would apply across the board. At least that's how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam. Anyway. So you have that. So that would be an example where, because the moicher is changing his mind and wanting to back out of the deal, therefore he has the lower hand. And it was man shalakeach choizaboy. If the lakeach wants to back out of the deal, yad moicher alo yona, then the moicher has the upper hand. Rotza oimaloy helach moisecha. If he wants, he can tell him, here's your money back, and I'll go sell the field to somebody else. Or we can tell him, here's an amount of karka equal to the amount you paid so far, and then he would be entitled to give him from ziburis. And then the Braisa continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Melamden Oisai Shalo Yachsu. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, to begin with, when people are buying land, we teach them, we the Chachamim should teach them, that they should make an agreement in the first place, that they can't change their mind, and that avoids these kinds of problems. Ketzad, what does that mean? Kosev Loi, you write in the Shtar, Ani Ploini Men Ploini Machavi Sodo Ploini So Ploini Be'elop Zuz. I've sold this field to Ploini for 1,000 Zuz. V'nosani Mehem Masayim Zuz. He gave me so far 200. V'arini Noshevoi Chesmeis Zuz. And now he still owes me another 800. So now the din is, he is acquiring the whole field, and neither one can change his mind, because in effect what he did is he turned the remaining 800, the balance, he turned it into a loan. He turned it into a choy. So therefore, machzolos hashar after lach kamashonim. So then he's koina the entire field, So he is koina or machzolos hashar after lach kamashonim, and then he's going to have to give him the rest, the 800, even if it's years later. I'm not strictly speaking years later. Actually, the Ritva points out that may be a gruzma ba'alma. It just means, in other words, it's like a regular loan. The point is, I'm saying you avoid the problem in the first place by turning the balance into a loan, but the point is that the Tanakama was saying, Tanakama, when mentioned that possibility, says, so our Mishnah, when it uses that expression, is not necessarily talking about employers and employees, it's rather talking about this kind of case involving buying and selling a field. So let's analyze this braisa. The Gemara says, where does he have to pay him from when the moicher wants to back out of the deal? He has to pay him from idis. So the question is, why from idis? For purposes of the question, we assume that the Braisa means he would have to pay him out of the edus of all his property. So in other words, we would say, in effect, the other guy is a Baal Choyv on him, and therefore, as a Baal Choyv, he would pay him edus. Question is why? Even a regular Baal Choyv, which now we learned in Gifton, Baal Choyv and in Bava Kama. Baal Choyv didn't have a Beinus. A Baal Choyv gets paid maximum out of Beinus. Why should he have to pay him? Why should he have to pay him out of edus? So Tosfos says, if the part where it says that in the second case we can pay him from Ziburis, fine, the Daraisa, Baal Choyv, collects only from Ziburis, so we can say in that case, the Chachamim left it alone. But where is the Baal Choyv getting from Idis? And the answer is, V'oid, Paul Ara, the Yohiv Zuzi. Also, what do you mean that he would have to pay him from some other land of it? The fact is, he's trying to buy this particular plot of land, so therefore, what he should be giving him is out of that plot of land. Why would he say that? He has to go and find some other idis of his and give it to him for his 200 zuz. That's exactly what it means. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, "Me'idis shabah mi'ziburis shabah." It means that he would give him, well, within the field itself, the idis part or the ziburis part for the 200 zuz, depending which one of them is trying to back out of the deal. Rav Acha Breidin of Ikka gives a different explanation. It means, you could even say that it means that, now, the reason why he wouldn't get from the Beinus is that Tosfa says, one way or the other, we penalize one or the other of them for backing out of the deal. So therefore, someone said there's never going to be Beinus in that case, either if the seller backs out, he has to give him the Idis within the field, or if the buyer is trying to back out, then he's only entitled to the Ziburis within the field itself. So that's one answer. Rav Acha Breidin of Ikka, after the time of the Idis to Nechazav, you could even say that it means that he has to give him out of the Idis of his own possession, meaning from a completely different field. Why would that be? We said if he's only a Baal Choyv, he should only be entitled maximum to Beinus. The reason is Stam Man Dezaren Arab, Dezaren Arab, Alpha Zuzi, because the Braisa is talking about a case where he's buying a field for 1,000 Zuz. 1,000 Zuz is not usually the kind of cash that people have on hand. Usually when a person is buying for 1,000, Zuli Moisel or Mazda Nifsi, it means he's sold other properties of his at a discount. He really wants this particular field, which is worth 1,000. So therefore he aggregated a bunch of other fields of his and sold them, but therefore he's willing to sell them quickly, so therefore he discount the price to the buyers, so therefore it comes out Bahavala Kinizik. So therefore, in effect, now he's a nizik. He's been caused a loss because now I worked to raise all that money to be able to buy your field, and now you're trying to back out of the deal. So therefore, in effect, you're mazik me. Not strictly speaking, Tosfos says not strictly a mazik, but it's like at least a little bit like a mazik. Or tanan. And after all, we learn hanizak and shaman lam beidis. A nizik is entitled to be paid out of idis. So therefore, that would be Rav Acha's answer of why in the Braisa over here was saying he's entitled to be paid out of idis. We don't have to say it means the idis of the field itself. It means a different idis because he's being paid as though he was a nizik. So you have different opinions among the Rishonim who the halacha is like. The Rambam brings the halacha like Rav Nachman Yitzchok that he means it pays him out of the idis or the bainness of the ziburis within the field itself. On the other hand, Agos HaGrua points out that the Rosh and the Tur pass him like Rav Acha that he's always entitled to idis even from a different field because we consider him to that extent like a nizam. Then we said in the Braisa of Shimon Gamliel, Omer Malamden Osin Shalayatsu, Rav Shimon Gamliel said that we teach them in the first place to avoid backing out of the deal like this. Kate said, how do we do this? We said that Rav Shimon Gamliel said, you write out the shtar in such a way that you make it clear the entire sale has gone through, but the guy owes you 800 zuz. So the Gemara says, time at the cost of Lehochi. Now the implication is only because he actually wrote that clause into the contract, then it works, and then we say the whole field is acquired. The implication seems to be that if he didn't write that, then it wouldn't work, and he wouldn't be koine, because that's what Shimon Gamliel is saying. Avoid the whole problem in the first place by writing that into the shtar. And if you didn't write it into the shtar, it doesn't work. The problem is, v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, hanosine rovin l'chaveri, a person gives a down payment to somebody, an erovin really is a mashkin, where the purpose of the mashkin is to be a penalty in case he tries to back out of the deal. And he tells him, iman is chozabi, if I change my mind and I don't end up going through this deal, ervoni mocholoch, then I am mochol my mashkin to you, you'll be able to keep it even though I'm not buying anything. And the seller answers back, he also says, you know what, I'm also committing myself, and if I change my mind, then I'll give you double the amount of what your mashkin is worth. And so Rabbi Yossi says that works, and the tznoim are fulfilled, and therefore each one is going to have to keep to his word. And the Gemara interjects, Rabbi Yossi l'tanya, d'ama asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yossi is following this shita where he says that an asmachta is koina. Here you have an asmachta because each one is saying, I'll do such and such if such and such happens, which therefore is an example of an asmachta, as we learned in the previous parak. And Rabbi Yossi says that doesn't matter, and nevertheless it is a valid kinyan. Tosfos actually had pointed out over there that it would be an asmachta only if it's either something beyond his control or if it's an exaggeration. Here, this would be an example of an exaggeration. To say I'm giving you a mashkin, it should be forfeit just because I changed my mind, or to say I'll double the value of your mashkin, that would be a guzma, and therefore Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter. It may be an asmachta, but Rabbi Yossi holds it still koina. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it would be enough that he's koina the amount equal to his erobin, his mash. So they'd be able to back out about the rest of it, but he'd still be entitled to an amount equal to his mashkin. And the Braisa continues, Om Reb Shimon Gamliel, Bamedvar Mamurim, the same Reb Shimon Gamliel who said before about the condition when you're buying a field. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, when do we say that you're only buying, like Reb Yehuda says, an amount equal to the mashkin? Only when he tells him to begin with that my mashkin should acquire for me a certain, should acquire the thing for me. Now you can't because he didn't pay the whole amount. So he's saying, in other words, I'm giving you 200 as a down payment. I want to be koina the whole thing. Obviously you can't be koina the whole thing for 200 because it's worth 1,000. So in that case, then, like Rabbi Yehuda says, that he would only be able to acquire a percentage of the field depending how much he paid. Avol, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel continues, Mochalei Soda Be'elof Zuz, he sold him a field for 1,000 Zuz, V'nosan Lemehem Chamesh Me'ez Zuz, and the buyer gave him 500 Zuz as the down payment, Kona, then he is Kona, Mochalei Sashar, the Lacha Kamashonim, and he has to give him the rest even after many years. So in other words, in the case where he gives him only 200, that's not really a down payment. That's only like a mashkin. But when he gives him 500, which is half the price, then already he's doing it as an actual kinyan, and therefore, so he is koina the entire thing, and he just owes him the 500. Now, here we didn't say anything about writing into the shtar that you owe me the other 500. So here, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not making that distinction, whereas in the earlier price that he did, so what's the difference? So the answer is like Kasha, it depends whether the seller is coming back and forth to demand the rest of the money. So then, in other words, it shows, you know, why. So then it means, why did I sell the field in the first place? Is because I needed the money very badly. So therefore, so if you didn't pay me at the time, then I don't want to. I wasn't willing to sell it to you on condition that you're going to owe me the money later. What good does that do me? I need the money now. So therefore, we can say that he's only acquiring. So unless they write it into the shtar, then he's only acquiring a percentage of the field. As opposed to the second braisa, is talking about where he's not doing that. So therefore, so we can say in that case that he's perfectly willing to accept the rest as a debt, even without writing it in the shtar. As in fact, Rava says, such a din, a person sells something to somebody else, and there was Mashiach and all that, if the seller is constantly coming back to demand the rest of the money, even though there was Mashiach and all that, he wasn't Kona, because obviously, again, the guy is saying, I'm only willing to sell it, only if I receive the money now, because I need it now. But if he's not going back and forth for the Zuzi, then he is Kona. This, by the way, has implications as far as the halachas and mechiras chometz. The Alter Rebbe mentions in Seder mechiras chometz that the problem when you're selling your chometz to the goy in the Alter Rebbe's times, it was still very common that the usual way was that you sold it yourself. Later on, the minhag became you sold it through the rav. But anyway, if you're arranging with the goy that you're going to sell him your chometz, he's going to give you a down payment, and after Pesach he has to pay you the rest, or else he's selling you back the chometz. The Alter Rebbe points out you have a real problem with I over Nafik Azuzi over here, because don't you have, you want the rest of the money. So therefore the Alter Rebbe says this is why you have to have an Orev Kablon in the mix over there. You have another Yid who's an Orev where he's responsible for the rest of the money, and the goy is not directly responsible to you, and that way that avoids this issue, and that way the sale is complete. Different achronim talk about Tzemach Tzedek, talks about the Sdei Chemed, talks about different angles on that. Is that really the Sdei Chemed brings up a point? Is that really necessary? After all, you certainly do want to sell your chametz in order to avoid that you have it on Pesach, but nevertheless, Tzemach Tzedek defends it, and you have that is so. So that was nowadays when we sell through the Rav, then the Rav, in effect anyway, was selling the Chomet to the Rav, and the Rav himself is turning around and selling it to the Goy, and we're not going to demand the rest of the payment from the Rav, so therefore that avoids the Ayah of Nafak HaZuzi problem as well. The Rabbeim, specifically, even though they sold it through the Rav, would also use an Ord of Kablon to be Choshish for this as well. But this is an example, because Ayah of Nafak HaZuzi, because you have this concern that you're actually wanting the rest of the money now or very soon, then therefore that might be a problem with the sale unless you make these arrangements.